Just about time to start some meditation. And one of the first, just check with you folks who are here to see if the sound is working. So, if excellent, good, thanks, good. It's wonderful to see you. Welcome. Just reflecting on this incredible opportunity that we have to practice together, feeling grateful for this technology that makes this possible. As we get started this evening, just invite you to reflect on gratitude, experience of in these difficult times, the things that support us, the things that nourish us, the things that provide refuge. So we have this opportunity together to reflect and just to start with some appreciation for as we settle into our sitting spots, just a check in to notice what sits here in terms of body sensations, and to see as we start to focus inward if there's any body adjustments or postural kind of improvements that can make it easier to sit comfortably and to sit with some sense of both ease and also uprightness. So just kind of experiment with finding that balance. Sometimes in the beginning I like to let the body sway a little bit to find the kind of the balance in relationship to gravity. So there's a sense of being kind of in a sort of balanced relationship with the earth, with points of contact that support the body. As a gesture of kindness and curiosity, to just let your awareness gently sweep through your body, to touch every part of your body with just a curiosity, is there any tightness or holding or tension, constriction? Is it possible to soften a little bit, to let the body be supported by whatever it is you're sitting on, to receive that support with a softening, with a sense of connection, trust? If you're noticing tension, tightness, constriction, could be useful to just deepen the breath, take a long, slow, deep breath, let the breath be an invitation to to this softening, this sense of ease. So to come back to appreciation, to just appreciate the capacity to breathe in this moment, the full experience of the breath is an invitation to be present, it's an invitation to soften, to release. This practice of coming together as community, as a supportive community, we can take the sound of our voices joined together as a shared mindfulness object and as a way of bringing our energies together through this electronic medium. So we can create a sense of community. And so I'd like to invite us this evening to do the chant Om. And we'll just do that for about a minute or so. And in this practice, it can be a free Om, which means you can take a breath anytime if you need to breathe to support making the sound. And of course, it's totally optional. Don't have to join in if you prefer not to. You can just stay present with sound. So if you're choosing to join in, let's just take a long, slow, deep breath together. And then just let the sound Om emerge. Oh. So there is this experience of the breath, the precious experience of in-breathing and out-breathing. It's incredibly simple as an object for us to focus on. But at the same time, it's also incredibly profound. There's this connection to the immediacy of life in this moment. Each in-breath is a communing with life on the planet. Each exhalation is a gesture of gratitude, a sharing of the nutrients for the plant life on the planet. And so we can take the experience of in-breathing and out-breathing as this direct experiential understanding of our interbeing with life. taking the experience of the breath in this moment as a refuge, as a refuge in presence, as a refuge in our capacity to be present, our Buddha nature. Direct experiential understanding of what's happening in this moment. So taking refuge in the Dharma, taking refuge in the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path that can be directly experienced in this moment. And the breath is also what connects us to life. And so we are sitting here together, breathing. And there is taking refuge in Sangha, the community of life, in all beings who breathe, and in this community that's gathered here this evening. So these are the precious gems or jewels that we take refuge in. And they're all connected to the breath. They're all connected to this moment, to this experience of in-breathing and out-breathing. It is noticeable in the chest expanding and contracting, the belly rising and falling, the touch of the breath at the tip of the nostrils. So we see the experience of the breath in this moment. And that's the beckoning of a good friend to come back to presence, to come back to the refuge of this moment. And that doesn't mean that we have to try and stop the thinking that it could be happening, or try to change some body sensation, or get rid of some emotion. It's actually coming back right in the center of whatever the experience is. So this is a practice of friendliness, of receiving this moment just as it is. The breath is the anchor. It's the touchstone that helps us to remember that we can meet whatever state is happening, whatever mental state, whatever emotional state, whatever state of body sensation, with presence, with kindness. hands will be steady with the experience of the breath, it's possible to become a connoisseur of breathing. Each breath is a little different, has a different flavor or feel to it. And it's incredibly intimate, the experience of breathing, and it offers feedback about our state of being. And it isn't feedback for analytical thinking. It's feedback for the direct experiential insight into the nature of things. This breath is an expression of the nature of this body that is arising and passing away. It's a reminder of the impermanent nature of things. It's a reminder that the breath breathes itself, that there isn't anybody that's doing this breathing. And if we're clinging or resisting, the breath tends to clench up, which is wonderful feedback, wonderful information, so that we can soften again, we can release. So in these final minutes of this sit, see if it's possible to just give yourself over even more to the experience of presence. And if that means tracking the experience of the rising and falling of the breath more carefully, then please do that. If it means softening and relaxing even more into some body sensations other than breathing, then please do that. Or perhaps there's some emotional state or some mental state that you're sitting with. It's possible to open to just surrender. This is what's happening in this moment. So really offering yourself to life in this moment. This is what's happening, being fully present. And of course, there is always the anchor of the physical experience of the breath to come back to if there's a sense of getting lost in discursive thinking or wandering into trance states. There's this breath, this moment. This form of meditation is referred to as opening up meditation. So once we establish a foundation of focus on the breath, cultivate presence and concentration, then we get to a place where we can open up to directly experience the ever-changing stream of consciousness with pure presence. So there's no clinging to anything, there's no pushing anything away. There's just simply being present with choiceless awareness. And so we use the breath, the focus on the breath, as the place to cultivate this quality, this place of peace, this refuge. So if it seems helpful, I'd like to invite just to reflect for a moment on the effort and the energy that you put into working with your mind, staying present, and offer appreciation. This is a challenging practice sometimes. Sometimes there's just a sense of ease and peace that comes very naturally. But other times it can be really challenging to stay present with difficult states, difficult emotional states, difficult states of body. So appreciation, practicing gratitude for this capacity that we can cultivate. And to once again stay connected to the body, I'd like to invite us to do a little body movement, a little stretching. This is a stretch we can do in a seated position. I mean, it's a stretch that's intended to help deepen mindfulness, taking mindfulness into movement. So, to first of all, start with noticing the vertebrae of your back. And perhaps identifying individual vertebrae or just having a general sense of your back. And then I'd like to invite us to do a gentle twist. And doing this gently, going only as far as is safe for your body. So if there's tension or discomfort, then probably you've gone too far. So let's start by just rotating our right shoulder backwards and letting the right arm and the hand go back behind our back. And so just rotating, letting the arm just guide us back, noticing the sensations present. And once you go as far as you can with your shoulder, then letting your head, your chin follow. So there's a rotation. And once you go to the furthest extent that's comfortable, then just staying there, holding that posture and staying present with the breath. And then gently releasing, slowly coming back to center. Staying present with body sensations, present with the breath. Yeah. And please let this be an offering of kindness to the body, just an invitation to release, to let go. And let's do the same thing, moving towards the left, but going slowly and staying present for the entire movement, the entire stretch. Present with the various parts of the body that are involved. Present with the sensations. Perhaps noticing the feeling quality, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And then once again, after holding for a breath or two, then just coming back to center, rotating back. Please check in and see if there's any other subtle shifts or movements that you could mindfully experiment with the body sitting, to offer some relief as a gesture of kindness, just to, for things to soften. So in the next minute or two, let's come back to stillness, come back to our center. But there's no rush. So yeah, letting go of any sense of urgency, any compulsive sort of movement. So we keep our focus on what's happening in this moment. This is an invitation to be curious about body sensations, stay connected to the breath. Such a pleasure to see you folks this evening. I am just experiencing the preciousness of our community. It's really warms my heart to have this opportunity. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you this evening. I'd like to offer us an opportunity to do a little check-in before I do a Dharma talk. And for those of you who might be new joining us this evening, the check-in is basically just an opportunity to share a few words about what your experience is, what's on your heart that might be useful to say out loud, to share with others, to kind of weave the web of community with our sharing. It's totally optional. Don't have to say a word if you don't want to. And the structure in this format is basically, once you finish speaking, you just bow, and then the person you'd like to share next has an opportunity to speak. So, and yeah, it'd be helpful, even though our names are on the little boxes of the screen identification, I think it would be wonderful to share your name too. So, just an invitation. So I'll start. My name is Doug, and I am feeling deep gratitude for spring. Such a beautiful day, and I was grateful to be working from home and be able to go outside and just hear the birds sing, see the squirrels, and we had some ducks that were resting in our yard, and just a wonderful little the kind of celebration of life that's happening. And then, obviously, with the contrast of the tragedy that's unfolding for human beings in so many places, so the sort of bittersweet quality of it is really very much foremost in my heart. And so my heart is full of those feelings of both gratitude for spring and a deep sadness and compassion for the suffering of beings. Thank you. And check to make sure that there's, yeah, okay. So you're unmuted. Tom, can you turn down the volume just a little bit on your computer? It's just a little bit loud, if that's possible. Yeah. And I think you just muted yourself, so that's a different control. That would be on the screen, at the bottom of the screen, if you touch that with your mouse, with the cursor. I think so. Yeah, thank you. Would you like to share it, Tom? Is there other sharing that would like to happen? Yes. Well, thank you for your sharing. And there'll be perhaps an opportunity at the end if there are others who'd like to share or if there's questions. This evening, I thought I would talk a little bit about cultivation of friendship with ourselves, which is, I think, another way of talking about one of the core aspects of this practice. So often, when we deepen into the present moment, what we discover is that there's lots of self-commentary, lots of judgment, lots of critiquing. I know this is certainly was true for me. I grew up in an environment where there was a fair amount of judgmental parenting that was well-meaning, but sometimes wasn't very skillful, and I tended to absorb a lot of that, and then ended up doing it to myself. And at times when there is a heightened stress or anxiety, times of change can re-stimulate some of those old patterns. And so I've been working with kind of with a intentional cultivation of being friendly, because I know that I'm deeply affected by what's happening in the world, and that distress or that potential change and concern for the world can manifest as anxiety. It can easily lean or cause a turning against oneself, thinking, oh, I should be better able to cope and deal with this. But actually, the most important thing is the relationship with the mind itself, with those conditioned patterns, with the being able to observe them, to observe it as thinking, and to perhaps relate to it from a place of kindness. I'd like to share with you a Pema Chodron quote. She said, "The first step in developing friendship, unconditional friendship with ourselves, is staying open when we want to shut down. When things are just too painful, too embarrassing, too unpleasant, just to try to stay open, to stay present." So that's part of what the capacity we're cultivating with this practice is to be able to do that. But before my spiritual practice really deepened, and before I did a significant amount of personal therapy, I used to be a real jerk to myself. I used to be pretty unkind. But over the last 20 years or so, having done this practice, that's changed tremendously. So I would describe myself now as, most of the time, I'm a good friend to myself. I'm willing to, you know, soften and listen to the painful parts that are hurting. So most of the time I'm able to soften and listen. But it took a lot of practice to get to that point. And as part of that journey through healing and recovery, I come to realize through the work that I do as a therapist and a counselor that I am not alone, that this self-judgment, you know, even self-hatred is a pretty common experience for us as human beings. And so working with that as part of this practice is essential. And cultivation of kindness towards ourselves is really essential. And it be able to go deeper, to relinquish the bonds to the past that keep us stuck in patterns that don't really work for us anymore, means working with that conditioning, cultivating a relationship with it. And talking about cultivating a relationship with ourselves, but to folks kind of outside of mindfulness practice, might sound kind of strange. Like, what? How could you do that? What makes that possible? But being able to be self-aware, self-observant, actually starts to give us freedom to choose how it is that I want to be in relationship with this moment, with this state of consciousness, with these feelings, with these body sensations. And we can move in the direction of an unconditional friendship that's not based on terms or conditions or expectations of perfection. So I don't have to look a certain way or act a certain way to merit my own kindness. I don't have to feel a certain way to extend loving kindness towards myself. So there's this intention of choosing to show up in a loving and a heartful, open-hearted sort of way as often as possible. As we go through difficult times, the challenges get, of course, greater, or they can get greater. One of the things that many of us are experiencing, perhaps most of us, is to a greater or lesser extent, we might be spending more time alone or with just a few other people. So our relationship with ourselves becomes even more important to really look at that relationship. What kind of relationship is that? And there's an opportunity to cultivate it in a direction that's more loving, that's more kind. Because there's, when we spend a lot of time with ourselves, there's this kind of echo chamber or reflection back. We can look at the conditioned tendencies to beat ourselves up when something goes wrong, to look for someone to blame, and when there's no one else around, who's left but me, to see those as strategies for trying to keep ourselves safe, for trying to have some control by internalizing the judgment as strategies that lead to suffering, to directly see the cause and effect of when I talk cruelly to myself, when I put myself down, when I judge myself, what's the result? What happens when I do that? For me personally, it increases my experience of tension, anxiety, leads to depression. And those are all experiences of suffering. When I move in the direction of forgiveness and mercy and kindness, things soften. There's a lightening up. There's more capacity to meet life with presence, with joy. Letting go of clinging to expectations of perfection. And actually, it creates the conditions for better relationships with other people. If I can't really love and accept myself, it's pretty hard for me to let other people in more deeply because I build barriers and walls to keep them out of the places that I think are unacceptable. So that limits my capacity for intimacy, for connection. So if I can soften and open and create a friendly relationship with myself, there's a parallel process there. It actually opens up the potential for relationships with others. This practice is sometimes referred to, I think, in the Zen tradition, but it really applies to mindfulness practice in general, as an intimate relationship, as a getting to know oneself, and through going deeply into this relationship with oneself, we discover the universal. We discover our shared humanity, our connection with other people. And so, at this time of social distancing and isolation, if we're feeling disconnected, there is a way to get reconnected without being in physical proximity or close connection with other people. And that's to find that universal experience of humanity inside of ourselves, to not reject it, to not throw it out, but to actually be curious about it, to deepen into it. I was talking with someone earlier this week who was having kind of a breakthrough in their practice, where they discovered that they could befriend what she referred to as her childhood exiles, the parts of her that she experienced as unlovable as a kid, that got banished and basically would come out at inopportune times and act out in some way, in the form of anger or the form of depression. And she was working through these various kind of parts of her and discovering that she could befriend them. And she said her latest discovery was being friends with her teenage self, who was socially isolated, felt like a misfit, felt like was unlovable. And most teenagers go through that, but a lot of teenagers don't realize that that's a shared experience. It's part of our common humanity. So that part gets left thinking that it's the only one who has ever experienced that. So she was discovering that there was a lot there in her teenage self that she could really learn to love and appreciate. And it turned it into a resource instead of something to be feeling ashamed of or cringe about. So there's this invitation to greet ourselves with kindness and acceptance. And this practice creates the foundation for that. And to see that those mental states, those emotional states, aren't self, actually. They're something that we can relate to. And if awareness can relate to it and it's transitory, it isn't really me in the sense that I have to be reactive around it or tried to hide it because I believe that it's my true identity. It's just conditioning, really. It's emotional conditioning. So we can see that it's not really a self, that it's temporary or that it's impermanent. And that to the degree that we cling to it or resist it causes suffering. Sometimes it's really hard to access our love for ourselves. And the Buddha gives us some metaphors or some tools for working with that. One of them is to imagine a mother's love for her only child, and then to love or bring that quality of love to those parts of ourselves that we find difficult to accept. When we struggle with that, we can hold the intention of metta or loving kindness, even if we're not feeling it, even if the emotional energy isn't there. If we can remember the intention, I'm choosing to be kind to myself, even in this difficult time, even when I find myself having thoughts or feelings that I don't like very much. With a practice of intention, we can begin to cultivate a quality of relationship with those unwanted mental emotional states. And they start to soften. They start to be less troublesome, taking over. And most importantly, they don't have to jump into the driver's seat and make decisions for us about what we do or don't do. A lot of times, you know, strong emotions, particularly negative emotional states, if we aren't present with them, and if we haven't learned how to cultivate a relationship with them, cause us to do harm to ourselves and others, and act in ways that aren't compassionate. So working with that and cultivating that. I'd like to share with you a quote from Tara Brach that I think kind of fits in with what I'm talking about this evening. She said, "Believing that something is wrong with us is a deep and tenacious suffering. The suffering emerges in crippling self-judgments and conflicts in our relationships and addictions and perfectionism, in loneliness and overwork, all the forces that keep our lives constricted and unfulfilled. Radical acceptance doesn't mean self-indulgence or passivity. Instead, it empowers genuine change, healing fear and shame, and helping to build loving, authentic relationships. When we stop being at war with ourselves, we're free to live fully every precious moment of our lives." So that's the invitation, is to work with that. One other thing I'd like to share, another quote, because this one's kind of striking for me because of the stature of the person. This is from Mahatma Gandhi. He said, I have only three enemies. My favorite enemy, the one most easily influenced for the better, is the British Empire. My second enemy, the Indian people, is far more difficult. But my most formidable opponent is a man named Mohandas K. Gandhi. With him, I seem to have very little influence. So this isn't easy, but it's very important. And perhaps it's the most important relationship in our lives, is this relationship with this mind-body process. And the most satisfying, because it's our primary connection to life. It's our primary connection to other people. So I thought this evening we could do a little deepening or cultivation of being able to hold this intention for ourselves for just a few minutes. There'll be some time for sharing. So just finding, maybe you're already in a comfortable position, but if you need to make any adjustments, feel free. And then we'll do this cultivation. So just letting your eyes gently close or be softly downcast, and just to check in with the body, with the breath. Yeah. And like us to reflect on anything that's coming up in our lives right now, where there might be some challenges with self-acceptance, maybe places where we're judging ourselves, we're finding it difficult to deal with the conditions that we find ourselves in. Maybe we're not as loving as a parent as we'd like to be, or we're finding it difficult to be in relationship with a partner or with friends, or just with dealing with challenges of negotiating social distancing and feeling frustrated with that. There's all kinds of things. So just allowing yourself to turn towards that. If you can, feel into it, if there's any places where there's any struggles. And just let yourself feel how that is in the body, to bring that to mind, to consciousness. Wow. what emotion is present, body sensations. And see if it's possible to recognize there's some suffering here. There's some struggle, there's some stress, maybe. Might come in the form of irritation, impatience. And particularly those judgments towards oneself. It's what we're working with this evening. Ways that we find ourselves coming up short. To let that come to mind in the space of loving presence, in the space of meeting it with loving intention. And if it's helpful to use imagination, to imagine yourself sitting across from you, and then to formulate for yourself a custom-designed, individualized metaphrase. What intention would your heart long to hear? What kind of wish? And it could be very simple. May I accept myself even when fill in the blank? Or may I learn to be more loving towards myself when I don't meet my own expectations. Or I can forgive myself when fill in the blank. So then to try this out, to just practice saying some kind intention to yourself. And as we do this, we're cultivating a relationship of friendliness. Speaking to ourselves the kinds of words that a good friend would share when we're down or we might be struggling. And if there isn't anything that comes to mind in recently, you can imagine that there could be challenges in the future based on past experiences. So please use this this meditation in a way that's going to be most helpful to you. Practicing kindness for yourself. Being a good friend in this difficult time. Minute or two here, there's an invitation to expand this practice. If you find that it's flowing, you've got a flow of friendly relationship with yourself, then if you're feeling strong, you could extend it to other beings. You can imagine there could be millions of beings who are feeling the same way. So we tap into our interbeing, our interconnectedness, and just to extend that. If you're still finding that it's just enough to work with your own, that's totally fine. Just stay with that. So, and once again, checking in with your body, how is this feeling? what's happening with breathing. As you cultivate this friendly intention, this friendly relationship with yourself, so important. And I'm going to invite us to transition, to take a long, slow, deep breath, perhaps, and just come back to letting yourself center in the breath. Sharing or questions. We just have about 5 minutes or so. So curious if anything came up for you, any discoveries. Yes. What you're describing fits with what I've observed, that there both my own experience of being more tired at times, and also just hearing from other folks, as I talked to lots of people during the week, and there are a lot of folks who are struggling with that, and I think that irritation is one of those things that can kind of go along with being tired and stressed. And there's a lot of things that it's hard to emotionally process, stay kind of keep our emotional heads above water with everything that's happening. So in terms of what you're describing there, I mean, it starts with compassion for yourself. It's like, this hurt. this was a hurtful thing. There were, in that communication, there were ways your needs for understanding, maybe support, respect, weren't being met. And so to give yourself some compassion there, it's like, yeah, that hurt, that's dumb. As a starting point, and if there's any, and you said it kind of haunts you like a ghost, so there's some maybe thread of that judging communication that, as Marshall Rosenberg would say, that the jackal communication kind of touched that thread in you. So practicing with, mercy for yourself, compassion for yourself. You didn't do anything wrong. This other person was struggling. They were hurting. When you've given yourself as much compassion as you need, then maybe you can open your heart internally at least, and then maybe at some point share your feelings or listen to their feelings. So, does that make sense? It sounds like your trust was also shaken, because if your history with this person, that there was a trusting relationship, you trusted that they would be kind and caring, but their humanity showed through, I mean, in the form of they're human too, and sometimes life gets the best of them. Welcome. Any other brief sharing questions before we close? So I'd like to invite us to take this practice of cultivation of friendliness for ourselves into kind of expanding. So just letting your eyes close once again, and it's coming back to and picking up that thread of loving intention, and understanding that, as Larry's question certainly brings to light, there's a lot of need for practicing with kindness and forgiveness and compassion in the world. And so as we cultivate this in our own hearts and connect with our own humanity, our own imperfections, our own struggles, our own, times when we lapse into reactive states, we can understand the need to share our kindness with others. And compassionate understanding. So I'd like to invite us to, first of all, just in this group that's gathered here this evening, to imagine that we're reaching out and touching, connecting through hands to each other, and offering that support. May we help each other to remember to remember our own true nature, that we can stand in the center of our hearts relating to life with compassion and kindness. May this remembering be shared, may it be passed around our circle, and may we send it out into the world in all directions. May all beings remember their true nature is love. Their true nature is to be kind and open and connected to life. And to act in ways that support life, that and to particularly hold in our hearts and with wishes of well-being and kindness any and all beings who are putting their lives at risk for the welfare of others. People who are frightened, who are dealing with illness, dealing with despair, financial stress, may these beings be touched by our wishes of kindness and compassion. May these beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from suffering. And I'd like to invite us to close with our chant, may all beings be happy. And yeah, we'll do that three times. And then sadhu, which means so be it. We'll do that three times. Just to send these wishes out into the world. So please join me if you wish. And we'll send our wishes out. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So please take the merits of this practice and share them with all beings. Please take with you whatever is useful from our practice this evening. Anything that's not useful, just let it be forgotten so only good things come from our practice together this evening. To remember the truth of impermanence as we move towards our parting ways this evening. Before we do so, though, I'd just like to remind you all that we operate on generosity, the PIMC, and there is a link on the both the email I sent out and on the PIMC website for practicing Dana for the Thursday evening group. So just invite you to consider giving a gift to support this practice and to experience the joy of giving. That really is the core of it, to see that as a part of the spiritual practice. Just invite you to be safe and well and take good care. Hope to see you here again next week. Blessings. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Take care.